You have your Bibles with you this morning. Turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. This morning we are continuing our series called Shared Space. And this idea of a shared space suggests that because we share this space that we call friendship, a shared space creates a shared community as we do life together. But a shared space also creates a shared vision and a shared sacrifice. Church, because we share this space together, we share our lives with one another, and I think you would agree that we are blessed in doing so. Today, I want us to press in and hear what God has to say to us about our shared vision and a shared sacrifice. I don't want anyone to be unaware of the values and the direction of the church, and so I want to remove any blinders so that we will be in agreement together. What is our shared vision? Well, our mission as a church is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. I want you to know that that is a priority with us. You see, we're not about building a denomination. We're not about just building buildings. Our mission, say it with me, our mission is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Friend, that is what we are about at Friendship. So let's unpack our mission. Acts chapter 2. I want us to look at the early church, the first New Testament believers. And we find a description in Acts 2:44, where Luke writes, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." I want you to note that in Acts 2, this was a very small church with a very large impact. And today there are large Christian churches with a much smaller impact. And you say, well, what's the difference? The difference is that this early church, they were tremendously blessed because they were unified. They were together. They believed that Scripture was extremely important, and so they studied God's Word together. They believed that relationships were incredibly important, so they did life together. They believed generosity was something that should characterize the way that they lived, and so they were generous. And church, because they were so unified, you could criticize them, but that wouldn't stop them. And you could threaten to hurt them, but that would only make them more passionate. And you could persecute them, but they would become more united. And you could even kill some of them, but that would just make the rest more focused and more intent on doing what Jesus had called them to do. They were so united that no matter what you did, they could not be stopped. Unity, agreement, together. So what does God want from us at Friendship? According to the Scripture, God wants us united. He wants us to be in agreement. He wants us to be together. What does our spiritual enemy want? He doesn't want us united. He wants us divided. He wants us not to share one vision, but he wants us to have two visions. Let me ask you, do you think Christians around the world today, are they united or are they divided? What do you think? I would suggest that believers around the world are very much divided. In fact, worse than divided, we are splintered. And church, it must break the heart of God to see Christians who cannot get along with one another. I took these verses in Acts 2 and I translated them into a modern-day translation of how these verses are actually lived out today. In Acts 2, the believers, they were together, they were in agreement, they were generous. But let me show you how this is lived out today. Here's my translation. All the believers were divided. They didn't have much of anything in common. Hoarding their possessions and goods, they kept as much as they could for themselves. Every now and then, if it wasn't too inconvenient, or if they weren't too tired, they would come to church for an hour. They loved Jesus when it was convenient to love Jesus. And yet they were despised by people for their hypocrisy, and very few people were being saved. Friend, what a tragedy that so many who profess to know Christ live this way today. But our vision, our mission at Friendship is that we want to partner together to lead others to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And let me tell you, that if you are a follower of Christ, you need to partner somewhere in a local church. You need to find a church family where you belong and a place where you're growing and where you're contributing. And if it's not here, if you don't like friendship, then don't come back. I mean, no hard feelings, right? But I urge you to find a church that teaches the Bible and get plugged in. The key is that you must connect with God's people somewhere. And if friendship is where you're going to connect, then I want to share with you this morning four things that we must agree upon. What is our shared vision? Number one, we agree to do anything short of sin to reach people who do not know Christ. Now, you need to understand that. At Friendship, we will do anything short of sin to see those without Christ become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. You say, Jason, why is that? Because we don't believe the church exists for us. We believe that we are the church and we exist to share the good news with a broken and dying world and to bring glory to God. And I love the way Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 9:19. Paul said, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many people as possible. Paul would go on and say, I become all things to all men so that by all means possible I might save some. Paul testified, and what he said was this, I'll do anything and everything I can. Paul said, I will become all things to all people. I will do anything short of sin to reach people who do not know Christ. And friend, that is why we exist at Friendship. We want to glorify God, and we want to reach people who don't know Him. I want you to turn your attention to the screens this morning. These stories that you're hearing through this Shared Space series, they are from young adults who are products of our student ministry here at Friendship. And each have developed really this worldview of serving God through serving others. And it is a priority that has continued to mold and shape who they are in Christ. We train and we equip and then we send out these young men and young women and they serve. The places where God directs them, they are servants. They're serving in their church. Let's listen to Nathan Hawkins' story this morning.
Shared space.
My name is Nathan Hawkins. Currently, I'm a senior at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. I attend a church called Shades Mountain Baptist. I've been here since freshman year of college. And the ways I've been involved here, they have a student ministry for university students that I've been involved in since the start. Junior year, I became a part of the student leadership team, the SLT here. That is where they help out with facilitating things, whether it's getting stuff ready in the morning for Sunday school, being a part of events, like we have a pancake kickoff that we do for area students, or anything with helping set up, tear down, any needs that are needed to be met. We help out there. Musically, I'm involved at Shades by periodically leading worship for Shades Wednesday night services. They have a smaller service that meets every Wednesday night, and occasionally they'll ask different people to come in and either preach or lead the music. So I've been able to lead the music for that a couple of times this past semester and then even this semester too.
So tell me about some foundational parts of your faith that you learned at Friendship.
I learned salvation story and the ABCs of becoming a Christian and what it means for Christ to love us and send His Son for us. Those are all things that are extremely important and that Friendship taught me and even developed a sense of understanding within me growing up. But I think some things that maybe you wouldn't think of that have impacted me that I started learning from at Friendship were, for one, Awanas, and they would have like the missions moments where they would show you the video of missionaries overseas and how they're serving kids and people over there that don't live like you, don't look like you, and how that really just broadened my mind of how big God is, how big the world is, and how much He loves everyone, and that the world is not just a little globe that is around me and around my situation, but it's much bigger than that. Friendship really gave me an avenue to get involved with service and ministry, musically and otherwise. So musically, I was able to help out with Sunday morning music, part of the praise team, a lot earlier than probably other kids get to at other churches that are bigger than Friendship was. I was able to see what it's like to play on a Sunday morning and to be a part of a team that loves serving God and using music to do so. And then that also transformed into getting to lead on Wednesday nights for youth music. And then even so now, where I'm minoring in worship leadership and getting to do music for youth D-Nows in different cities in Alabama, or helping out with many different events at different churches, and then also non-musically of the service of getting plugged in with Labor for Your Neighbor and different things of that sort, where it instills the sense of going out and serving. I think back to the verse of faith without works is dead. While we believe that salvation comes by grace through faith alone, we know that faith calls us to action and to serve. And I think that was really instilled in me at Friendship. And then now seeing that take form of serving as a student leader, or going downtown and helping out with a homeless food ministry, or just taking joy in those things and not seeing it as a burden, but as something that we get to do because Christ has set us free from sin, and now we get to do this out of joy because of that.
God is good, and all the time. This shared vision of reaching people, it's clearly one of the strengths of this community of believers. We want to glorify God, and we want to reach people who don't know Him. It's why we do Labor for Your Neighbor. It's why we do fall festivals and give away candy and chili and hot dogs, and we tell people about Jesus. It's why we do servant evangelism. It's why we do event evangelism. It's why we do personal evangelism. Sharing God's love and the good news, it's why we send mission teams to serve in Elizabethtown and Vidor, Texas and Tanzania. We will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. And reaching those who are without a relationship with Christ, it is a partnership. We want to partner with you in that. I know that many of you have people you love who don't know Christ. Maybe for you it's a mom or a dad. It might be a son, a daughter. It might be a brother or a sister. It might be someone that you go to school with or someone that you work with. And you would love to see this person turn from their sin and put their trust in Jesus. When you invite them to attend worship with you, and I hope that you will pray and invite them to come, here's my promise when they come. When they attend with you, we will tell the story of Jesus in a very simple way every single week. When you get someone to come with you, my commitment is that we're going to tell the story of Jesus in a way that will engage them. You say, why do you do that? Because we want to partner with you as we reach people who are without Christ. Number two, our shared vision also means that we agree to accomplish more with less. We agree to accomplish more with less. At Friendship, we're very passionate about doing more ministry with fewer resources in an effort to honor Jesus. In fact, as you read Jesus' words, as you study His teaching, you clearly see how important wise stewardship was to Christ. In Matthew 25, 23, Jesus said, "You have been faithful with a few things, so I will put you in charge of many things." Friend, you can't read about Jesus in the New Testament, you can't study the life of Christ without seeing just how passionate He was about our wise use of resources. Again, I want to take the blinders off. I want to give you some behind-the-scenes philosophy of how we talk about this with our leadership and with our staff. I hope that you will see the power in this. Several years ago, Friendship bought 20 acres of property at the corner of Krebs Station and Old Highway 45. At that time, the thought was that we would one day build a new campus in that location and that we would relocate the church. Do you know that the cost to build just our current space and parking in that new location today? I'm not talking about additional space. I'm talking about just the space that we currently have would cost somewhere between $4 to $6 million to do that. How many of you agree that's a lot of money? So what's happened? In the last few years, we've had a huge shift in philosophy when it comes to how to do church. Rather than relocating, we've sensed God leading us to bloom where we're planted. And so we built the Kids Zone, which provides a great resource as we minister to families. Our preschool, our elementary children, they meet for Sunday school. They meet for Awana and Children's Choir and VBS in this new space. We have a vision of building a new worship center that will connect with the lobby of the Kids Zone. And that new worship space, it would seat over 350 people. It would be more accessible with no stairs to climb for our seniors. With the completion of Phase 2, when the worship center is built, we can double our current capacity, which means that we can disciple, we can worship and park a maximum of 500 folks at this location in 2 worship services and 2 Sunday schools. Constructing a new worship space, that's something that we would like to do, but something that we are not likely to pursue until the debt from Phase 1 is drastically reduced. But our philosophy is that we want to accomplish all that we can in this location. And rather than spending $5 million to relocate, our philosophy is that we want to max out what God has provided for us here. And when that happens, then we'll pray about and we'll look at planting a new church to reach those who are without Christ. You say, why the change in philosophy? It has everything to do with the fact that we want to accomplish more with less. I'll point out that our church provides our staff what we need to be effective in ministry. But I assure you that as a staff, you can be sure that we make it a priority to keep our expenses down. Why? Because we agree to accomplish more with less. Let me share something else with you that I think is very unique about Friendship. This year, our giving has been down roughly about $3,000 per month. Where does a church find that kind of money to alleviate from the church budget? Well, let me share with you how that was handled. Rather than making cuts to our ministry budget or our missions budget, which is what a few other churches in our area have done in the same situation, we enlisted volunteers to help mow the church property. We enlisted volunteers to help clean the church facility. If you have mowed or cleaned the facility this year, would you please stand for just a moment so that we can thank you? If you have mowed. Every week, 5 teams of 2. So we have 50 people in our church who are on a cleaning team. So every week, 5 teams of 2, they come to church sometime Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They will spend roughly 2 hours here at the church preparing the facility for our weekend services. Why would we do that? Because we said that we would rather give of our time than we would to cut what we give to missions or to cut what we do for ministry. And I just want to be transparent with you. Accomplishing more with less is how we make it as a church. That's our secret. We agree to accomplish more with less. That's how we make it as a church, because the truth is, as a whole, we don't give that great financially. I'm just telling you the truth. We have a number of people who are members of this church who have not yet discovered the joy of giving a tithe to the Lord. So our secret is that we keep the cost down, and that gives us margin so that we're able to do ministry. Can you imagine what might happen if each one of us learned to give the way that we're supposed to give as believers? But here's the deal. I want you to know that as long as I'm pastor here, my commitment to you is to lead us to be aggressive and to be passionate about being wise with God's resources. And if anyone, you ask anyone who knows me and they'll tell you that I'm a tightwad, I thought for sure I'd get an amen out of that this morning. But when you give to Friendship, we want to maximize all resources for God's glory. So our shared vision means we agree to do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. It means that we agree to do more with less. And number three, we agree that we are a small church with a big vision. A small church with a big vision. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And sometimes I sit back and I look at what God has done in the 19 years Friendship has been in existence. And folks, while I stand in awe and would say that it's amazing, I believe that we're just getting started. I think we're just scratching the surface. I think the foundation has just been built. Folks, we haven't seen anything yet because Friendship is a small church, but we have a very big vision. Sometimes people will say to me, they'll say, "Pastor, the church is just getting too big. I don't know everybody like I used to." And I just want to say sometimes to those folks, then don't come back. Don't come back. I mean, I'm being dead serious with you. Listen, as long as there's someone who doesn't know Christ, please don't ever say that the church is too big. Because we're a small church, but we have a big vision. Let me show you some population stats of the world. And I hope this inspires you like it does me. This chart shows the population of the world. Look at the timeline from left to right on the screen. On the far left, we move from the year Jesus died, and watch what happens with the population as you move to the right. At 1000 AD, 1600 AD, the population continues to grow. But notice what happens to the population of the world in our lifetime. It's amazing. It has almost increased threefold. Friend, in the next 35 years, the world population will eclipse 9 billion people. And I look at something like that and I think, I wonder what God is calling us to do. I wonder how Friendship is going to fit into God's plan in reaching these people for Christ. The Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is expected." And church, I believe God expects something out of us. He expects us to do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. He expects us to do more with less. And He expects us to pursue this big vision. And then number four, we agree that we will make a difference. We agree that we will make a difference. I want to speak a verse of Scripture loosely over you this morning. It's found in Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul said, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever." Church, my prayer is that Jesus gets all the glory as he works in you and through you to accomplish more than you and I could ever imagine. My prayer is that this body of believers, that we would be so generous and so godly and so different that people in our community who don't even agree with our faith would say, "You know those folks down at Friendship? I may not agree with everything that they believe, but those folks down there, they're serious about Christ. They're generous. They're people that are making a difference within this community." Church, when you show people the love of Jesus, when you are generous and you serve them selflessly, it's hard to argue with someone who is serving you. And so let me urge you to keep up the good work. Keep showing others the love of Jesus because it brings credibility to the message of Christ. And we will make a difference. I had someone ask, "Jason, why are you so passionate about the church?" And I'll tell you why. You show me something more important than the local church, and I'll quit what I do tomorrow. You show me something more important than the church making a difference in our community, and I'll pack up my office and quit. But friend, there is nothing more important than the church being the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus in a broken world. A shared space creates a shared vision. And if this shared vision is going to become a reality, if this vision is going to be fulfilled in our lifetime, then this shared vision will require a shared sacrifice from each of us. And so let's switch gears and let's discuss this idea of shared sacrifice. The Capital Stewardship Campaign focuses on stewardship from the perspective of how we use our time, our talents, and our treasures. And through this campaign, we are being challenged to consider how we might give sacrificially of time, talents, and treasures. Folks, please keep in mind that the building is just a building, that anyone can put up four walls. Unquestionably, it is the ministry that takes place within the building and beyond. It's ministry that will reach people for the kingdom of God. So an investment of your time and your talents and your treasures are very much necessary if we are going to fulfill the vision that God has given us as a community of faith. In regard to our finances, the Capital Stewardship Campaign centers really around two important decisions. First and foremost, each family should focus on exactly what God is leading you to sacrifice. There are not going to be any specific amounts required. There's not going to be any amounts suggested from families or individuals. Our hope is simply this, that through prayer, each one of you will seek God's will in regard to your participation. In sacrificial giving, everyone has the opportunity to share equally, not necessarily in amount, but in quality of commitment. And as we rely on God to lead us in making a sacrificial commitment, what happens is we begin to influence others to grow in dependency upon Him. So when it comes to your financial commitment, consider first what you can control. What we control involves prayerfully deciding to make a contribution to the campaign. It would be an amount that God has laid on your heart to give so that the vision that He has given our church will be fulfilled. You might consider drinking water when you go to a restaurant and taking the money saved and dedicate it to the campaign. You might consider taking your lunch during the week instead of going out and giving the money to the campaign. You might consider reducing your cable TV package or delaying the purchase of something that you want and committing those dollars to the church. Somebody mentioned last week that they were going to give their tax return to the campaign. The goal is for each one of us to find out what God wants us to do and then simply be obedient. The other direction to look when it comes to your financial commitment is to consider what you cannot control. This is a financial commitment that you make to God. It's an amount that you will contribute to the campaign if God provides it for you. In other words, it's a covenant between you and God, saying, God, I will commit this to you, but I have no control over it. You have total control, God, and it's yours if you should want it. It might be a debt that you've not been able to collect. God, if you provide it, I'll give it. It might be something that you'd be willing to sell, a car, a computer, some property, a yard sale. Commit it to God. It's outside of your control. But watch to see if God chooses to do something with it. The next decision that each of us will need to make involves the type and scope of the commitment that we make. Some families, some individuals may decide on a one-time gift. Others may feel God's leadership to make a weekly or a monthly contribution over the next 3 years. But you're encouraged to do only that which God puts on your heart. A capital campaign is about equal sacrifices. Not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. Each member has different financial resources at their disposal. If it were about equal gifts, then we'd take the amount of money that is needed and we just divide it up and send you an invoice and we'd expect a payment. But that's not how it works. The principle of a capital campaign is that over the next 3 years, we will make a voluntary choice to become involved in sacrificial stewardship. Let me warn you that God is never to get our leftovers. Friend, He should always receive from us what is right and not what is left. Our giving to God, it should cost us something. God's people, the nation of Israel, they had been taught that giving was to be sacrificial. In 2 Samuel 24, David came to the recognition that his own sin had led Israel astray, and God's judgment had come in the form of a plague upon the people. David interceded in prayer, and as God began to move, David wanted to offer a sacrifice to God. So King David went to buy a man's threshing floor so that he could build an altar. And David wanted to present a sacrifice to the Lord. And there was another man who generously offered to give the oxen for the offering and the wood for the fire. It would have been for David almost like a turnkey sacrifice. All David had to do was sit in the pew and everything was going to be taken care of for him. But instead of looking for a shortcut, David refused the discount. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, David said, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord burnt offerings that cost me nothing." And church, I believe the same should be said of us, that we are to give sacrificially to God. We shouldn't often offer the Lord that which costs us nothing. We shouldn't settle for giving God what is left when He deserves what is right. And so I challenge you to give God the best. Strive to give Him the first of your time, the first of your talents, and the first of your treasures. Don't offer Him what is left over. God desires what is right. So I would encourage you to spend some time with God this week, asking Him, "God, does my giving, does it cost me something? God, am I giving to You what is right, or am I giving You what is left?" Bridget and I have always given at least 10% to the Lord's work. And then we've tried to respond sacrificially to God's promptings for things like stewardship campaigns or mission projects or other needs that come along. Friend, are you offering God your leftovers, or are you giving Him priority over your possessions? Let me give you some helpful information. We borrowed $900,000 to build the Kid Zone. We have paid down $260,000, leaving a loan balance of just over $640,000. We have maintained approximately $180,000 in our campaign fund, which is the fund that's used to make our monthly payment to the bank. We have 20 acres of property that is paid for, and should the Lord choose to sell that property, it would certainly have some value that would benefit us financially. And so I say those things to say this, that we are in a healthy position. Through this stewardship campaign, we want to invite you to share in the sacrifice so that friendship can fulfill the mission that God has given us. I assure you that your participation is vital. Let me remind you of the schedule for next Sunday, November 18. It's Celebration Sunday. We'll begin the day next week with coffee and fruit and donuts over in the Kids Zone at 8:15. I hope that you will join us for a time of fellowship as we visit next Sunday. Then at 9 o'clock next week, we'll have Sunday school at 10:15 during our morning worship service. You will have an opportunity during that service to bring your commitment card and to lay it here at the altar. The commitment card will indicate your commitment to give over the next 3 years. And so if you need a commitment card, we will get you a card that will be available next week. But folks, it's a new day, and it's a new time, and it's time that we sell out for Jesus. Friendship will be a church that honors God. Friendship will be a church that will make a difference. And if you want to be part of what God is doing here, then we invite you to come this morning and connect with this church family. If you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, then you meet me down front when the congregation begins to sing. And I'd be happy to pray with you or talk with you about what it means to follow Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for who You are. Father, You are the head of this church family. We look to You for direction and for guidance. We look to You to make provision as our needs come about. Lord, we know where our help comes from. And so, Lord, we just pause and we acknowledge that You are Lord at Friendship. God, help us to stay in tune with You. Help us to walk side by side with You in step. God, I thank You for those that You've drawn to be a part of this church family, this community of believers. Lord, it's our desire, it's our understanding that You place each one within the church as You desire. So God, we're not here by accident, but You've led us to this place. God, thank You for the shared vision of reaching people for Your kingdom. And God, may You continue to do that through this body of believers. God, we lift up those this morning who are without a relationship with You. Father, we pray. Pray that they would be drawn by Your Holy Spirit to salvation. God, bring conviction and awareness of need. And Father, we know that as they surrender their life to You, But Father, there's victory in Jesus. Help us to experience and help us to live in that victory this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray.